Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We were blessed this evening to have a whole host of musicians. Can we just acknowledge them and thank them again with our applause? Welcome to worship this Christmas Eve. We're glad that you're here with us. If you are local and you don't have a church home, we invite you to worship with us. We're here on Sunday mornings at 10:30 throughout the year. For more information, you can check out our website. We just redesigned it at hollygrovelutheranchurch.org. If you don't know, there are restrooms right down this hallway and to the left. Most of our service will be out of the bulletin, and it'll direct you to the times where there are things in the book that you might need. I will just call your attention to the fact that when we get toward the second half of the service, there's some things that we'll sing back and forth to one another that are noted in the bulletin, so just be on the lookout for those. We stand as our opening hymn is number 267. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you made this holy night shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that here on earth we may walk in the light of Jesus' presence, and in the last day wake to the brightness of his glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, those who lived in a land deep darkness. And on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nations, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult with dividing plunder, for the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and his name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Titus. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own, who are zealous for good deeds. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O
Christ. Shepherds, for this new believe, why you joy us, strange of all, what a light of darkness, which is by your hearing song. Glory.
You may be seated. And while you're sitting down, if you'll excuse me, I'm just going to get comfortable too. I mean, you guys know this story, right? It's late. Is it okay if I sort of phone it in here and I just get a little comfy? Okay. I mean, you guys, you've heard this story your whole life, right? Comes around so many times. We're so comfortable with it that many of us could just about do it by heart, right? It's sweet and it's expected. I mean, the adult Jesus, he has some sort of challenging things to say. He gets pretty political pretty often with all that the first shall be last and the last first stuff. That's kind of rough. But a baby in a manger, what's not to love? A baby we can all get behind, right? This attitude was perhaps best exemplified by the fictional NASCAR driver played by Will Ferrell in The Legend of Ricky Bobby. Some of you have seen it, right? Ferrell's character begins his table prayer pointing out that he liked the Christmas Jesus the best. So he starts his prayer, "Dear tiny Jesus, with your gold fleece diapers." But soon he's interrupted by his father-in-law, who argues, "No, Jesus was a man, right? He had a beard, okay?" But Pharaoh's character is adamant. "I'm the one saying grace, and I like the baby version the best." So he starts the prayer again. "Dear 8-pound, 6-ounce, newborn infant Jesus, don't even know a word yet. Thank you for all your power and your grace, dear baby God. Amen." And I get it. What's not to love about a baby, right? A baby in a manger, especially on a night like tonight with all the beautiful music and the candles. It all has the feeling of tradition and being completely comfortable. But as nice as comfort sometimes is, it's not always helpful. I mean, I'm pretty comfortable right now up here. I'm basically wearing a blanket with sleeves, so it doesn't get much better than this. It doesn't get much more comfortable when you're vertical. But I think maybe from some faces I'm seeing, I'm realizing that perhaps my Snuggie may not really be appropriate for every situation, is it? Hardly. In fact, I bet my being comfortable up here is pretty distracting to some of you, isn't it? Okay, well, let's get rid of the Snuggie then. Because being too comfortable can make us miss things, can't it? That certainly goes for the Christmas story. As familiar and comfortable as this story has become to us, I think we maybe miss some things because this story ought to be shocking. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus, which tells us straight away that this story takes place under Roman rule, and not just any Roman rule, but the rule of the man first known as Gaius Octavius, the great nephew and the adopted son of Julius Caesar. Now, he didn't go by Octavius for long because he was maybe the most capable and effective emperor in Roman history, and so they gave him plenty of titles as time went on. The one we hear in Luke, the title, was Augustus, which means something like revered one. And that's sort of a religious title more than it is a political one. But before he was ever declared Augustus, he had another title, and this was one he gave himself, Divi Filius, son of the divine, it means. Son of God was the title this emperor chose for himself. So right away then, Luke starts this story by letting us know that at the height of one of the largest and most powerful civilizations in the world, when the Roman Empire stretched from Spain and England all the way to India, when Rome had its most capable leader maybe ever, who just happened to claim he was the Son of God, that's when this story takes place. That's what's happening in the world when Jesus is born. There's something subversive there, isn't there? that in the face of such power held by an emperor who claimed to be God's son, God shows up, but not with an army of angels to take down Emperor Augustus, not with fire or wielding a sword, but as a baby. That's unexpected, isn't it? But what a move by God. You think you're hot stuff, Augustus? Check this out. I'll show up as a baby and still be the King of Kings. So from the get-go, what we have here in this story is something subversive, something political, something unexpected. And the angels pick this theme right up again, because it turns out the emperor, he's not the only one with titles. The angels announce that born this day in the city of David is a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. They just happen to let it drop that Jesus is born in the hometown of the greatest king of Israel, David. And, oh yeah, did we mention that he's the Messiah, meaning the one who has been anointed to rule? And in addition to that, he's the Savior. Now that term's a little bit curious, because we hardly ever hear Jesus called Savior in the Gospels. But you know who did present himself as the Savior of the people every chance he got? The Emperor. So wow, do you see what's happening here? We're getting this baby Jesus being presented in direct contrast to the whole power structure of the known world. A baby presented here as an alternative narrative about what's really going on in the world, about what power really looks like. That's pretty unexpected, isn't it? But it doesn't end there. Because who do the angels make their announcement to? It's not the important folks. No, instead, the announcement comes to some shepherds, some nobodies in a field outside of a nothing town, shepherds who were known to be so unreliable you couldn't even accept their word as testimony in court. That's who the angels announce this news to. So when you pull back and look at all this, if you can break through the level of comfort we've developed around this story and this night, it turns out that this is actually a scandalous, dramatic, rebellious little story that's anything but predictable. And with all these unexpected twists, by far, the biggest surprise of all is this: that the God who willed the universe into being, who literally could have anything that could be desired or imagined, the God enthroned in highest heaven and worshiped continually by the multitude of the heavenly host, that God chose not to exploit all of this power, but to empty himself, to be born in human form, to open himself up to all the vulnerability and pain in the world, all for the sake of being with you and with me. No matter how familiar this story sounds, how comfortable with it we might have become by now, this still ought to be completely shocking, that despite all the ways that you have failed, despite all the ways we are inadequate, despite all the flaws that God knows perfectly well, despite it all, God is born among us anyway. Simply because God loves us so much that God can't stay away. What surprising good news.
Thank you.
Let us confess our faith with the Nicene Creed found on page 104 in the front part of the worship book. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty,
This night, the eternal Word of God is born in us. We pray for Christ's light of life to take flesh in the church, in creation, and in all people of God. Lord Emmanuel, we bring to you our longing for the visible unity of the church that you initiate in Christ. That undivided it proclaim the one whose birth brings good news of glad tidings to all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We bring, Lord, a vision of the reign of the Prince of Peace, that the nations, tribes, and peoples of this world will see and cherish in each other the very image of Christ, whose scepter is mercy and whose judgment is love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We bring, Lord, concern for those who have no place to lay their heads this night, and for those who dwell in the shadow of loneliness, despair, illness, or death. Especially, Lord, we lift prayers for those we name now. We come begging that the child for whom there was no room will open the doors of our hearts to the needs of our neighbors and ourselves. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We bring to you, Lord, the hopes and dreams of all the years, that with Mary and Joseph, angels and archangels, saints and martyrs, loved ones of every time and every place, our prayers and praises join in a common song uniting heaven and earth in a single peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in Jesus Christ, the light and life of the world. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace. Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. O come, let us lift our hearts unto the Lord.
With hearts uplifted, thanks to him we render. With joy we come before him, in gratefulness employ him, with thankful hearts adore him.
holy, holy Lord.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated. The ushers will direct you forward for communion by the center aisle, where you'll receive the bread from me, and then on either side receive a cup with wine or juice, and you can return to your seats by the side aisles.
Have mercy on us.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
May the good Lord bless and keep, cause his face on you to shine, look on you with favor deep, granting you his peace divine. Glory.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.